This podcast is for investment professionals only. The value of investments and the income from them may go down as well as up, and investors may not get back the amounts originally invested. Past performance is not a guide to future performance. The information is not an offer, solicitation, or recommendation of any funds, services, or products, or to adopt any investment strategy.
Welcome to the Investor Download, the podcast about the themes driving markets and the economy now and in the future. I'm your host, David Brett. Waste management has long been one of society's primary challenges.
Every year, the world gets more than 2 billion tons of trash. That's enough to fill over 800,000 Olympic-sized swimming pools. As the rubbish piles up, no number of landfills and recycling programs can keep pace with this growing problem.
A BBC investigation has found that plastic waste from Britain that's supposed to be sent to Turkey for recycling is instead being dumped there and in some cases burnt. The UK exports more plastic waste to Turkey than to any other country. Environmentalists say Turkey can't even recycle its own waste, so shouldn't be importing more.
Millions of second-hand garments end up choking Ghana's waterways and beaches and overwhelming its landfill capacity.
This place is serving as a dumping ground.
But it's not just a recent problem. The origins of the waste management industry date way back to ancient Greece. Nearly 2,500 years ago, to help clear cluttered streets of rubbish, regulators required waste to be dumped outside Athens city limits. Yet since then, technological process within the industry has been glacial.
The first recorded landfill site was in 500 BC. And really, since then, the fundamental concept really of dumping waste in less populated areas still does remain the sort of principal solution.
That's Sam Thomas, a sustainable analyst at Schroders. He's our guide today through the issues and opportunities in the waste management sector. Only over the last century have we started to see developments in waste disposal techniques. And improvements in municipal recycling rates have only occurred over the last two decades. But it remains a huge challenge. The fundamental concept of dumping in unpopulated areas remains the principal solution.
More and more people are demanding new functions and fresh design from their electronic goods. In Korea, more than 15 million mobiles are thrown away each year, and millions more other electronic goods meet the same fate. But where do they all go? The city of Guangzhou, China. Huge piles of dumped electronic goods. The city looks like a huge refuse dump.
The world generates about 2 billion tonnes of municipal solid waste annually, according to the World Bank. To put that into perspective, a rear-loading bin lorry can hold up to 18 tonnes of rubbish, meaning that globally we produce the equivalent of over 111 million bin lorries each day. And only 14% of global municipal waste is recycled.
Of the 2 billion tons of waste generated globally, 12% is plastic waste, but it's dwarfed by food and organic matter and paper and cardboard scraps. Once all that trash is collected, there are three main ways it is treated and disposed of: by burning the trash in an incinerator, using a landfill, or dumping it openly without any processing whatsoever.
The ability to suitably dispose of waste has been a key problem for societies for hundreds and hundreds of years. And as societies grow, the ability to deal with this increasing volume of waste in what is a socially acceptable but also environmentally friendly manner is becoming an ever more pressing issue.
And the problem's only going to get worse. Underpinned by persistent social megatrends, global waste creation remains on a relentless trajectory upwards. Analysis by Allied Market Research suggests annual waste production is expected to grow 29% to 2.6 billion tonnes of waste per year by 2030. As a result, the global waste management industry, which today is worth $2.1 trillion, is forecast to top $2.34 trillion by 2027. As such, it presents a growing opportunity for new technologies to disrupt this industry and tackle this growing challenge.
Specifically from an investment point of view, as with any growing societal problem, and particularly within an industry that has been relatively undisrupted, this creates some potentially very attractive investment opportunities.
Who knew mob boss Tony Soprano was so ahead of his time being in the business of waste management?
Are you in the mafia?
Am I in a what?
Whatever you want to call it, organized crime.
That's total crap. Who told you that?
Dad, I've lived in the house all my life. I've seen police come with warrants. I've seen you going out at 3 in the morning.
So you never seen Doc Cusumano go out at 3 in the morning on a call?
Did the Cusumano kids ever find $50,000 in Krugerrands and a 45 automatic while they were hunting for Easter eggs?
I'm in the waste management business. Everybody immediately assumes you're mobbed up. It's a stereotype, and it's offensive.
So in this show, we'll look at the waste management problems, what's being done about them, the companies helping trying to solve them, and the opportunities they present.
On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, you're listening to the Investor Download.
Waste disposal is something many of us undoubtedly forget about the moment we put out our bins for collection. But it's a huge problem.
The problem with waste is essentially that if you don't manage it properly, it can contribute to climate change, it can directly affect ecosystems, and it generates, you know, air, water, land pollution, all these types of things.
Despite the known detrimental effects on society and the environment, the majority of waste is just dumped. 37% of all municipal solid waste is disposed of in landfills, while nearly a third is just openly dumped. When normalising for population, the waste problem is an issue that is largely caused by the West, but ends up at the feet of emerging economies. By region, the European Union is the largest exporter of waste globally, with countries such as the Netherlands, Germany, Belgium, France and the UK topping the list of largest exporters. The US is the largest single country source of waste exports. Before its recent ban on waste imports, China was the largest importer of waste globally. In 2012, Chinese plastic imports peaked at 9 million tonnes, nearly half the world's global plastic waste. However, since the introduction of a ban in 2018, waste imports in other regions of Southeast Asia have picked up significantly, with Malaysia, Thailand, Vietnam and Indonesia now taking the top spot as the region's largest importers.
I mean, if we take landfills specifically on their own, they're a huge problem because, well, beyond just the air and land and water pollution they create, they also release a huge amount of methane gas when the waste decomposes. And actually, landfills account for around 11% of total methane gas emissions. But, you know, as well as the environmental side of things, waste can also have a huge range of negative social implications.
Lagos, Nigeria. An energetic city that's choking under a cloud of pollution that drags down commerce and drives up healthcare costs. The poor suffer the most. A whole community has sprung up on this mountain of garbage within the city limits. They scavenge for items to sell.
Really here, what I'm talking about is the sort of informal waste picking sectors that often emerge in many sort of lower income regions where property waste management practices are severely lacking. And the problem here really is that these workers are often exposed to extremely unhygienic working conditions. And, you know, there's a huge array of occupational hazards and health outcomes that are associated with this type of work. And I guess exacerbating this is the fact that the waste pickers do tend to come from the most vulnerable parts of the population. So, you know, they're often women, children, often the elderly, and potentially people who are unemployed. Waste is definitely a big problem, both environmentally and socially.
These problems are being exacerbated by trends such as the swelling global population and the acceleration in people moving to cities. The global population is expected to top 11 billion in the coming decades, while urbanisation rates are anticipated to rise to 68% from 55% by 2050. Inevitably, the world is slowly waking up to the waste problem. And like the ancient Greeks nearly 2,500 years ago, policymakers are starting to take action. Perhaps the biggest shock to the system was China's surprise ban in 2018 of 24 types of scraps from entering the country from abroad. It left waste exporters scrambling for alternatives.
It's just a monstrosity amount of inventory that we're sitting on.
The pileup started back in January when China banned the import of 24 different types of paper and plastic, including things like reusable water bottles. China also changed its requirements for the recyclables it still accepts. It only wants higher grade clean stuff that's almost perfectly sorted.
We've seen just over the last week or so Vietnam enact restrictions because they just don't physically have the capacity to handle all those containers that have come into those ports.
If China doesn't come back, if we can't find places to send our recyclable waste, what happens?
Well, I think the worst case scenario is programs stop.
Meaning we stop recycling.
It's forcing the world to rethink the way it handles waste, which means more punitive regulation will be imminent, which could in turn incentivize businesses to transform the sector. And that's what we'll be discussing in part two of the show.
Get in touch with us by email at schroederspodcasts@schroeders.com or visit our website, schroeders.com/investor download.
Social and political pressure for waste creators to handle waste in more sustainable ways is intensifying. As a result, the regulatory burden is ratcheting up. And it's not just waste importers that are beginning to crack down. Exporters are taking action too. For instance, from January 1st, 2021, the EU imposed a ban on the export of plastic waste to non-OECD countries. And they're not the only ones. Sweden and the US have also started to introduce more stringent rules on the creation and disposal of waste.
Companies and nations are already being fined pretty severely if they start to export the wrong types of waste to different regions. And similarly, they're also being fined if actually the waste streams that they are allowed to export are contaminated beyond a certain threshold. So the whole market is becoming far, far stricter. Within any region, waste management practices are regulated at the municipal level, the regional level, and also at national levels. Unsurprisingly, the regulation around the treatment of all wastes, of all streams of waste, really is far more strict in developed markets compared to some lower income nations. But whilst there are many regional differences, there are probably two major trends within global waste regulation that are happening. The first of which is the fact that the regulatory landscape itself is becoming ever more punitive. So the penalties for mismanaging waste are becoming far more severe than they have been before. And this is something that we're seeing across the globe. And there is almost a unanimous trend amongst global waste regulators to continue to drive the sort of polluter pays principle. And then really the second major trend that we're seeing in the regulation is the fact that there is a growing requirement for countries to dispose of the waste that they create domestically. So i.e. increasing bans on the exports of waste, as well as far more strict regulation around the type of waste that can be exported. This onshoring of waste management really is forcing governments and companies to think of new environmentally and friendly ways of managing the waste that it creates domestically.
These shifts in the regulatory landscape create a growing need for companies to develop new and innovative solutions to handle waste in socially and environmentally friendly ways. And it's big business.
To sort of some numbers on it from an investor's point of view, I mean, the waste management industry today is estimated to be worth just over $2 trillion. I think, as I mentioned previously, annual waste production is expected to grow pretty significantly. That is being underpinned by some very strong social megatrends. And, as a result of all of this, including the ever sort of more punitive regulatory landscape, which we've talked about before, the waste management industry is expected to grow to around $2.4 trillion by 2027. So that's a CAGR of around, or compound annual growth rate of around 6%. And actually within this, the waste to energy space is expected to be the fastest growing subsector. So, we believe the waste management industry does present a very attractive investment opportunity financially. But then, you know, as I mentioned before, of course, you have the added benefit that the industry is helping to tackle, a key environmental and social challenge.
As such, there's an increasing opportunity for companies with new technologies to enable this and for investors to exploit. And that's what we'll be discussing in the final part of the show. Given the rapid and expected rise in waste generation over the coming decades, Sam says there'll be a focus on the emerging technologies that are being developed to reduce waste once it's already been created. He says there's three areas that are particularly interesting. The first is artificial intelligence and automated sorting.
So really, it's only been over the last couple of decades where technological progress has taken us beyond this sort of simple dumping or open incineration. And really only within the last decade have we seen new innovative solutions emerging in the industry. And when I say innovative solutions, I'm thinking of things here like the AI and automated sorting of municipal waste streams. And this can massively help increase the efficiencies of material recovery facilities.
It's estimated that over half of all waste management tasks in material recovery facilities can be automated. And in the US alone, there are over 300 such facilities with an estimated market size of $6.6 billion. The vast majority of companies emerging in this space offer advanced scanning and sorting technologies that can be retrofitted onto existing conveyor belt sorting lines. One such company is AMP Robotics.
Stricter recycling standards in China mean it's cheaper for some US cities to simply send recyclables to the dump rather than pay a higher fee to process them. That's why a number of researchers and tech companies are working on making U.S. recycling more efficient.
What we've done is develop this vision system that's able to learn from experience and is able to identify all these different bottles and cans, despite them being smashed, folded, torn, dirty, kind of, you know, every way they can kind of get gross inside your recycling bin, you name it, we can probably sort it out.
Our gripper has two fingers and it kind of reaches down and grasps. And on each finger, there's a strain sensor which measures how much the finger is changing length. And there's also a pressure sensor right at the grasping portion. Based on how these sensors are constructed, they also can tell metal objects because it changes with the electric field that it's measuring. So with all of those three combined, we came up with like a classification model to determine paper, plastic, and metal.
The second opportunity could be in waste to energy, or energy from waste, which is the method by which electricity or heat is generated from the processing and treatment of waste.
A waste-to-energy plant converts our rubbish into electricity. Some plants supply heat to district heating systems too. How does it work? The most widely used technology takes waste and burns it. The heat created is used to make steam, which in turn drives a turbine that generates electricity.
One such company trying to provide solutions in this area is WOW, a Norwegian company.
And essentially what WOW does is they provide advanced technologies for processing waste and purifying water. So really the group's main tech is in the pyrolysis of waste. And so pyrolysis is essentially a forced decomposition of waste at very high temperatures. And WOW has a patented and proven pyrolysis process, which it's been operating for several years. And interestingly, WOW actually started off life by providing these solutions for the cruise industry to help the vessels meet the high discharge standards in the maritime sector. But now what they're seeing is actually some very strong demand and increasing demand from on-land industries who actually want to use their tech to manage their own waste streams.
The third opportunity, Sam says, is landfill methane capture. As the organic waste within landfills undergoes anaerobic decomposition, it generates methane gas. Methane emissions have a significantly higher global warming potential compared to carbon dioxide. Landfills account for around 11% of global methane emissions. This landfill methane can be captured and used as a relatively clean fuel source, providing two climate benefits: preventing landfill gas emissions and displacing the use of fossil fuel alternatives. Veolia, for instance, is a France-based optimised resource management group. It designs and provides water, waste and energy management solutions But it's just one of many such companies out there trying to help solve these issues.
So I guess really for me, the key takeaways are that, you know, despite the best efforts made in recycling, over 50% of waste globally still ends up in landfills or is openly dumped. As we've mentioned before, you know, mankind's waste creation is only going one way, and that way is up. And therefore, the need to handle this waste in an environmentally friendly and energy efficient and also socially acceptable way is becoming an increasingly bigger issue. And so really, I guess, in an industry that has remained pretty much unchanged for centuries, we believe this presents a very significant opportunity for today's newly emerging tech companies to not only become the market leaders in this rapidly growing segment, but also help to tackle this key social and environmental issue.
Well, that was the show. We very much hope you enjoyed it. If you want to find out more, check out our website, schroders.com/theinvestor download. You can also get in contact with us about anything in the show or ideas for future shows at schroderspodcast@schroders.com. Please remember to subscribe to us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to leave a review. We're now doing one show a week, which will be available every Thursday from 5 p.m. UK time. Thanks very much for listening, but above all, keep safe and go well. Cheers.